Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Welcome to TMG, Tell Me Something Good Podcast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. I enjoy discovering and sharing real-life moments of inspiration from everyday people. And this show is about finding moments of inspiration for our everyday lives. And look, and if you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. Hi, everybody! Welcome to an all-new episode of TMG. I'm your host, Travis Patton Sr. Hey guys, real quick, do me a favor. You know how we like to do this before we get started. Don't forget to visit, subscribe, share, and like our YouTube page. That's Tell Me Something Good with a capital T. And as always, I want to give a huge shout out to my biggest supporter, my biggest fan, my lovely wife, Nicole. Hey girl, how you doing? I know you're watching. I know you're listening. Man, I could not wait for Thursday to get here. I couldn't wait because of several reasons. One is because the show would be here today, but also because I knew that each and every one of you would be here also. I knew you were going to show up. Yeah, you that's watching, that's listening. Yeah, you. I knew you were going to be here. I knew you were going to show up. I absolutely did, and I'm so glad that you are here. So glad that you showed up, guys. Listen, Thursdays are always a good time for me because I get to meet some wonderful people for the very first time. Sometimes for the very first time, I get to meet some incredible people, and I'm talking about you. And whether you are listening right here in the United States or whether you're listening around the world. Maybe you're in London right now. Maybe you're in Canada or France, or maybe you're in Portugal or Spain or Mexico. Maybe you're in South Africa. Wherever you are around the world, listen to the show. Let me take this time to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that you're tuning in. So glad that you're here. Listen, today's episode is going to be an absolutely amazing one. You're going to be so glad that you tuned in. So glad that you joined in. And I'm so glad that you're here. And if this is your very first time tuning in, your very first time hearing my voice to the show, let me take this time to tell you thank you. I'm so glad that you decided to tune in. And whether someone told you about the show, or whether you already heard about it, or however you got here, maybe by accident, however you found your way here, I'm glad that you have, and you will be also. And to everyone who's been listening and following the show ever since we've been streaming, I can't tell you enough how thankful I am to have you listening to the show every Thursday. You tune in, maybe you're watching us on social media, or maybe you go ahead and listen on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and a host of others. So many around the world. Thank you for being here, guys. I'm so glad that you're here. You won't regret this. I promise you, you won't. And if you've been watching the show, listening to the show at all, in any kind of way, you know a couple of things. You know I love a good story. I do. And you know that this show is all about finding moments of inspiration in our everyday lives. So if you have an inspiring story that you'd like to tell and maybe come on a show, drop me an email at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. That's tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And you say, Travis, man, listen, I don't want to come on a show. I'm a little camera shy, but I know someone that has an amazing story that would be great for your audience. What can I do? Send in their information at tellmesomething21@gmail.com. And guess what? Guys, here is a way that for everyone to be a part of the show. Here it is. We have what's called a Tell Me Something Good moment. And I know you're wondering what that is. A Tell Me Something Good moment is any moment that you would like to celebrate. Maybe it's a wedding. Maybe you got an anniversary, a birthday. Maybe, just maybe, there are some goals that you are looking to accomplish and to crush. And right about now, you are achieving those goals and you want someone else to celebrate with you. You want that celebration to continue just a little bit longer. Whatever it is, send in your Tell Me Something Good moment. And what we'll do is we will read that information on the following show along with your name. And guess what? Everyone around the world will be celebrating your Tell Me Something Good moment. How cool is that? That people all around the world will be celebrating with you. That's actually pretty darn cool. Guys, listen, I want to go ahead and play the information about our affiliate sponsors. Once I do, I'm going to come back and we're going to dive into the show. Now, I know when commercials have a tendency to get a little fidgety. Sit on your hands. Get you something to drink, guys, because I'm just getting started.
Walmart is a proud associate sponsor of TMG Tell Me Something Good podcast. Please use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomethinggood, and visit our sponsor. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link. Fanatics is the place to go for all of your officially licensed sports gear from your favorite sports and sports teams. Use the special link, bit.ly/tellmesomething21, and pay a visit to our sponsor today. Remember, I may earn a commission when you buy through this link.
Breaking your phone sucks. Breaking your phone, then trying to sell it online sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online, only to find out that the money you'll only get for it sucks. Breaking your phone, selling it online for peanuts, shipping it, and finding out that you got scammed sucks. Gizmogo makes selling your phone fast, safe, and simple by paying you the highest price for your device. And with Gizmogo's free unlimited shipping and price guarantee, millions of people are starting to sell on Gizmogo. Fast, safe, simple. Gizmogo, the best way to
There it is right there, guys. Please visit one of our affiliate sponsors. The information that you're going to need to do that is right there below in the chat. No, scroll up. It's in the chat. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Scroll up. It's right there in the chat, guys. Scroll up. And if you're not watching this, listen up, because you're going to hear that information a little bit later. Guys, today's episode, I know you've been waiting to wonder when we're going to get started on this. Man, I could not wait for this when I came across this individual who's going to be our guest today and the things that we're going to talk about. This immediately came to mind, made me immediately begin to think about something as a kid and as an adult, rather, what we do as children, as a kid. And today's episode, if you haven't caught it yet, if you didn't hear about it yet, today's episode, guys, is entitled Kid Stuff. Yeah, today's episode, guys, is entitled Kid Stuff. Kid Stuff. Yeah, that's today's episode title, guys. There is a lie, and I was thinking about this while I was reviewing this episode and getting ready for it, but something came to my mind. That, that there's a lie that we learn early. That if you grow up, you grow past things. We've all heard it. That if you just grow up, you'll grow past it. You'll grow out of it. You'll grow past it. You'll grow past it once you grow up. I've heard that so much in my life. It's, oh, don't worry about how that made you feel. Once you grow up, you'll grow past it. There's a lie that we learn early. That if you grow up, you'll grow past things. Past the house you lived in, past the silence, past the shouting, past the nights you learned how to stay small, past the days you learned how to perform. We learn to dress it up, put it in a briefcase, put it behind a pulpit, put it behind a resume, put it behind a smile people trust. We learn to dress it up in different ways, but the truth is, we don't outgrow, we survive. We carry it. Some people collect coins, some people collect cars, some people collect shoes. But we all collect memories. And the ones we collected earlier, those are the ones that shape how we love, how we lead, how we disappear, how we control, how we avoid, and how we explode. We're not here today to place blame on anyone, and we're not here to make anyone a diagnosis. We're here to tell the truth that what we don't tend to doesn't fade. It waits. Different rooms shape us differently. Some memories were loud, some were quiet. Some were formed in chaos, some were formed in expectation, but they all taught us something about survival. Somewhere along the way, no one told us to pick up our toys. I remember as a kid, my grandmother would always tell me, if you're going to play here, you got to pick up your toys when you're done. And now they're all over the floor, tripping us, breaking relationships, breaking trust, breaking us open. Guys, I want to go ahead and bring on our very special guest. Guys, I want to bring on our very special guest, guys, Dr. Patricia A. Grinnell. Dr. Patricia, how are you doing? And I'm so glad that you are here. How are you doing, Dr. Patricia?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. It is so good to see you. It is so great to have you a part of the show, Dr. Patricia.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Dr. Patricia, where are you located?
I'm located in the Sonoran Desert of Arizona.
Okay, so quick note, everybody. Everyone has experienced that, right? This cold weather. Dr. Patricia located in the desert. Before the show, she said, oh yeah, Travis, it's like 75 degrees here. While the rest of the world is freezing here in the United States, Dr. Patricia has toasty 75 degree weather. We're all jealous right now, Dr. Patricia. We're all absolutely jealous right now. All right, let's dive into this, Dr. Patricia, because this is a very very good topic that we want to talk about. Now, we all bring a bag, Dr. Patricia, into adulthood. Some of us packed it on purpose. Most of us didn't. When you hear the phrase kid stuff, what comes to mind? Not clinically, but humanly.
Well, kid stuff, I don't think about screams, knees, and toys. I think about things that happened in rooms where we don't have a language for yet. For me, it was sexual abuse that happened in my own home, while the world outside believed that we were a nice, normal family. When I was 6, my brother-in-law kissed me on the lips. I learned very early that silence kept the peace. Dissociation could protect me, and that what was happening to my sisters and I wasn't something we could stop. People carry moments of confusion, fear, shame, and helplessness, but also the beliefs formed from those moments. My needs don't matter. I'm not safe. I didn't know what a healthy relationship looked like. I tolerated control, manipulation, and threats because I didn't believe I was worth more.
Oh, wow. That's incredible. I'm sorry to hear that you had to experience that so early in your life, Dr. Patricia. Absolutely, things like that can certainly stay with us. And when we talk about kid stuff, and we talk about the things that happened to us as children when we were vulnerable, as you said, when we didn't have even the language for what was occurring with us, things that were changing with us that we had no control over, we had no power over. And we're not talking about the toys. We're talking about the things that happened at a time in our lives where we were vulnerable. A time in our lives where we couldn't really defend ourselves. And if we spoke up for it, we were still not believed or victimized for that. We were kind of drugged through the ringer for that. It was that your experience, Dr. Patricia?
Yes, it was. We tried to explain it, but it just didn't come out. My parents did talk with my brother-in-law and sister, but he was a pedophile, and so it didn't do any good. He didn't give it up. So he just consisted on doing what he wanted to do.
Wow. Wow. So you told the people who were responsible for your safety, you told the people who were responsible for your health and protecting you, and they didn't believe you, or they talked to the person and that person just continued. Did they do anything to put anything in place to protect you?
No, they didn't do anything different. They just, they put a lock on the bathroom door and some things like that. But other than that, they didn't really do anything to try to make him stop.
Wow. And you have to understand, Dr. Patricia, your story is you, but it's not a universally unique story. There are people right now listening to Dr. Patricia who have experience what you did and may still be experiencing what you did, and they're still dealing with their own kid stuff. They're still dealing with the stuff that happened to them. They're still trying to deal with. They're still trying to get past. They're still trying to get over. They're dealing with their own kid stuff. The things that got in their way as an adult. Still getting in the way as an adult. And how did this make you feel towards people in authority? Here it is. You tell someone who was in authority that this is going on. How did that make you feel toward people in authority?
I didn't really understand any of it, so I didn't do anything about it, or I didn't feel any particular way about the authority. I was 26 years old in my therapist's office before I learned I had been sexually abused as a child. So during the time, I really didn't know what was going on.
Right, right. Wow. All right. In your lived experience, what are the kinds of memories people don't realize they've been carrying for decades? Like you just mentioned, when you were 26, you didn't realize you were carrying this kid stuff around with you. What are the kinds of memories that people don't realize they've been carrying around for decades in your lived experience?
Oh, I think that pretty much people end up dealing with what it is that they had as a kid, but I don't think they recognize it, and I don't think they pay attention to it as much as they should, because it's an ongoing problem. A lot of it has to do with relationships. And when you were brought up as a child and you weren't in a good place, circumstances happen and you end up in bad relationships, and you end up staying in relationships that you shouldn't.
Wow. So the kid stuff that we never address, the toys on the floor that we never pick up, they still remain there, and we still keep tripping over them and stumbling over them. I'm going to put up a picture, Dr. Patricia. I'm going to put up a picture here. Okay. We've all seen this if we have kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews. You come in the room, and there's toys everywhere. It's like they're trying to play with all the toys all at the same time. Everything, their toy box is empty if there's a toy box, but everything's all over the floor. And that is how a lot of us feel, what we're carrying right now, Dr. Patricia. This kid stuff is everywhere. It's in our finances. It's in our personal life. It's in our business relationships. It's in the way that we think about ourselves and the way we think and process about others. Kid stuff is there. We get angry and lash out at other people who had nothing to do with it, except they just there in the room. And all of a sudden, we wonder why things are going the way they are. It's because we never dealt with our kid stuff.
That's
it's
right.
Still on the floor. It's still right. Everywhere. Let me ask you a question, Dr. Patricia. That being said, why do so many, and I want people to understand this. This is not specific to a certain genre of people. It's not specific to individuals who only make a certain, you know, financial amount. You know, you make $30,000 a year, so yeah, you deal with it. No. Kid stuff is something everybody deals with. So why do so many high-functioning adults believe their success proves that they're healed? You know, you hear it all the time. Well, because I'm successful, I'm healed. I'm successful, so I'm over that. Why is that so? And it takes people who are therapists to sit down with them to realize that you still have kid stuff on the floor. So why is it, Dr. Patricia, that so many high-functioning adults believe that their success is evidence or proof that they're healed?
I think because competence can cover pain. You can earn degrees and build a career and look strong, and you still carry blurred boundaries, fear of judgment, a deep sense of unworthiness. The crack is often in relationships. Success doesn't automatically heal trauma. I became highly driven. I was educated in military service achievement. Those look like strengths, but underneath, I still didn't know what a healthy relationship looked like. So I was kind of, lost.
So So what you're saying, Dr. Patricia, you had started to achieve things, and you said you were driven. You began to have these great levels of achievement, but you said underneath, you still knew there was some kid stuff. You were still lost. You had no idea of what a true relationship looked like, and these kid stuff was still there, and you still had to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So it doesn't matter. Wow. So it doesn't matter, Dr. Patricia, what you're saying is we can't hide it behind the image that we create for other people to pat us on the back about. And we can't hide it behind the things that are successful. You said success does not equal being healed. Just because we achieve something doesn't mean we healed from it. It just means you're strong enough to put that mask on a little bit better.
Right.
It just means you put that mask on just a little bit better than someone else who hasn't achieved as much. That's all it means. Because after the door closes, this is what happens after the door closes, Dr. Patricia. After the door closes, you still got to deal with this.
That's right. Stuff
everywhere. At the end of the day, you still have to face your own thoughts, your own mind, about your own kid stuff. Avoidance, a lot of times, Dr. Patricia, avoidance can look like discipline. Well, I'm just not going to deal with it. I'm going to avoid it. Act like it never happened. Pretend, you know, that part of my life never happened. I'm just going to avoid even dealing with it. I'm not going to talk about it to anybody. I'm not going to talk about it to a therapist, a trusted friend, a pastor, nobody. I'm just going to avoid that old part of me because it's the old me. I'm not even going to bring it up. I'm going to avoid it altogether and not even allow people to bring it up. So avoidance sometimes can mask as discipline. Okay? Silence can look like strength. I'm just not going to talk about it. You know, it takes a lot of strength not to say nothing. I'm just going to be quiet. But what does it actually cost a person to later and cause the person to never go back and look at their childhood experiences?
Okay. It cost me years of relationships built on survival instead of safety. It cost me believing men who said I was lucky to have them. It cost me trusting my own instincts. When we don't look back, past quietly shapes who we choose, what we tolerate, and how we see ourselves. It shows up in leadership as overworking, in faith as shame, and in self-worth, never feeling like enough.
Wow. So, again, it shows up in... here's what I get it, Dr. Patricia. The areas of our life that we try to protect and keep it from are the very areas that it shows up in.
Exactly.
That's what I hear. Every one of those areas you just mentioned, those are areas we try to protect. Our faith, our relationships, our business, all those things we try to protect. We will go to war over these things. And it is those very same reasons. Isn't that just the irony of that? You know, the irony of it. We try to protect it, but it still shows up in it.
Yeah.
We try to do everything we can to keep the kid stuff from showing up in our relationship. Every man, I'm going to be more macho. I'm going to be more manlike. I'm gonna beat my chest because I'm the man. And we do more macho things, and we try to do what society says a man should do and be what a man says. And it's not all the time bravado, Dr. Patricia. It's my kid stuff. And this is how I'm coping with it. This is how Say that again.
And your kid stuff comes out.
And it comes out. Again, everything spills on the floor. Every woman says, I'm going to be more feminine. I'm going to be more ladylike. I'm going to be the ideal wife, the ideal woman. And it spills. And I listen, I got three kids. I got five. Well, we have my wife and I have six kids. Right? So my two boys would do this every time. Every time they did, Dr. Grinnell, I would say, okay, guys, you're through playing. Pick your toys up and put them in the toy box. They would stuff the toy box full of toys. And they would always stuff them. And then, okay, guys, you can play with your toys. Instead of gently just taking out what they want from the toy box, they would tip it. And they would all fall over and spill over. Right now, Dr. Patricia, there are some people who are at the tipping point. It doesn't take much for them and for things to spill all on the floor in their relationships, the tipping point in their business relationships, the tipping point. It's spilling over in areas we've been trying to protect. And I know there are people right now, you are listening and you might not want to admit it to anybody else, but right now you're at the tipping point. My kids would fill that toy box full of toys. And all they had to do, Dr. Patricia, is just touch it, and it would spill all over the place. Right now, Dr. Patricia, there are people who are in the same position in their lives. They're at that tipping point. Everything, that kid stuff, is still there. And it doesn't take much for you to blow your top. It doesn't take much for you to tell somebody how you really feel about them. It doesn't take much. And everything you thought you learned in school, everything you thought you learned in your seminars, is all out the window.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's gone. I'm at the tipping point. I woke up this morning and it didn't take much for me to go off on the person who cut me off while I'm trying to get my cup of coffee. It didn't take much for me to go off on a person.
Maybe you've noticed the stairs, the groceries. Everything that's not as easy as they used to be. And you're starting to wonder, what would it look like to get a little help? At Care.com, asking for support doesn't mean giving up independence. The right kind of help lets you stay in charge. Whether you know what kind of care you need or you're just starting to look, Care.com is here to help. You can find background-checked in-home caregivers who fit your budget or explore senior living communities at your own pace. Read reviews, request tours, compare options. And if it all feels overwhelming, our senior care advisors, all master's level social workers, can help you create a plan. For a limited time, use the code LISTEN20 for 20% off your initial care.com subscription. That's LISTEN20, all one word, good for 20% off. Start your senior care journey with confidence.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Who cut me off in the drive-thru, who cut me off in traffic. I'm at my tipping point. What do you say to somebody like that, Dr. Patricia?
Wow. They need to kind of back off a little bit and be a little bit more, I think, satisfied with what's going on in their lives. Maybe even take a look at what's happening and see where the anger and the frustration is coming from. There must be something else going on. There's probably a lot of stuff that's underlying that needs to be brought out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, back to the toy box. Everything is everywhere all at once.
That's right.
And when that pressure comes up, Dr. Patricia, I noticed when that type of pressure comes up, it will reveal a crack. Pressure will always reveal a crack. I don't care how good you can hold it together. I don't care how good you look to everybody else, but it'll be that tipping point and it'll show that crack every time. Where do you see that cost showing up later in a person's life, like in relationship, leadership, faith? Where do you see that kind of showing up?
Basically, in all of their lives, the way they treat people, the way people treat them, it's how the interactions happen, and that's really important to be aware of what's going on.
Wow. So it begins with hearing is, it doesn't matter what the interaction is, it's going to come up.
Right.
It's going to happen. Those toys, this stuff is still there. It's going to come up.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, Dr. Patricia. I don't know if you've ever done this, but, you know, I have. I've gone in my kids' rooms before with no shoes on. And I say, yeah. And I thought that, man, they got up everything. I thought every piece of toy was up until you step on that one toy that I'm not going to mention, those blocks are there and they step on it and everything comes out. I don't care how good you try to hold it together. That interaction is going to happen because it's still on the floor. It's still there. You lose it. And that's what happens. We lose it because we stepped on something. Something triggered us. And we thought we had it together, but something triggered us. We thought we was good at that, but something triggered us. We thought, you know, I got that covered, but something triggered us. I don't need any help on that. I'm good, but something triggered us.
Mm-hmm.
Stepping on the toy triggered me, Dr. Patricia, and you lose it. All because of, and here's the thing. I lost Dr. Patricia, and I wasn't even playing with the toys. I lost it over somebody else's kid stuff. Come on, man. Come on.
That's life.
I wonder how we are wrestling. We're making things difficult, possibly for others, because we're not dealing with our own kid stuff. People in relationships. Maybe it's tough because somebody needs to deal with their kid stuff. Maybe the way we think and process could be better if we work through and pick up the pieces of our kid stuff. Let me ask you this question. Why do you think, or a better question, let me ask you this question. Where do you, does this have even impact people's self-worth as well?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Wow. Wow. Does it make them feel, you know, undervalued, or you begin to feel like you're not worthy, or And is the beginning just really just pull down your self-worth?
Right. You just don't feel like you're worthy of anything. And so people can take advantage of you and you end up responding to them in a bad way for yourself.
Wow. Wow. So it impacts a lot of different areas of our life. I want to ask you a question. And I know we can't visit everything, but why, Dr. Patricia, why do you think so many people are afraid that if they open that door, they won't survive what's behind it? Because here's what I learned, Dr. Patricia. Some people say, you know, I think I might want to do that. But they go, I don't know if I can face what's behind that door. I know some stuff happened. I know some stuff. Because some people will acknowledge, yeah, I think some stuff really happened to me. And they know, and they shut that door. They avoid it. But why do you think so many people are afraid to open that door? Because they're afraid they can't survive what's on the other side of that door.
I think when you have disassociated, minimized, and survived by not feeling, going back is a concern of a major storm. And so you don't want to go there. Like, I didn't remember parts of my life until years later. But the fear is, if I really face this, it'll break me. But the truth is, we've already survived it. The work isn't in reliving it. It's about understanding it now.
Man, wait a minute. Hold on, Dr. Patricia. Hold on. You're not going to just drop that diamond and move on. You said the fact is, the truth is, you've already survived it.
That's right. And so now if you look at it, you can kind of dissect it and figure out why. Figure out where things went bad and how they went bad.
Mm-hmm. So we're afraid to face what you've already survived. Wow. Wow. That right there, mic drop moment, man. I told y'all this was going to be good. Dr. Patricia is quietly just dropping these diamonds and these nuggets all over the place. You've already survived it. To those who are listening and you didn't know if you could go back to it, you've already survived it. To those who question themselves and find themselves at this point questioning everything that you believe in life, you've already survived it. To those who wondering what my next step looks like, what my next thing, you've already survived it. That, Dr. Patricia, that is worth its weight in gold right there all by itself.
Thank you.
Absolutely it is. Now, but we also learned this, Dr. Patricia, you know, given your story, given what happened, not all trauma is loud. No, not all trauma is something, you know, where it's dramatic and people, you opened this episode. And you shared a loud moment in your life that happened. And it's loud moments like that that get a lot of attention, get drawn to. And it should get drawn to. Loud moments like that, people you hear about on the news, and you have all these websites built for, and it should. More help should be done for it. More resources should be done for it. More education should be done for it. But not all trauma is loud. Not all trauma speaks with a loud voice. Some of it whispers. Some of it's not that loud. It just whispers in the night. How do early environments quietly shape what people believe about safety, love, and self-worth? How does that play a part in those three things?
I grew up learning that love could include control, sexualization, and fear.
Wow.
That blurred my boundaries. It made me believe relationships meant enduring, not being safe. And all of this goes back to attachment theory. John Bowlby came up with four ideas of attachment that everybody is kind of put into when they are born and they grow up with their parents and the bonding happens. The four attachments are anxious, avoidant, disorganized, and secure. And everybody falls into one of those four categories.
Wow. I've heard of avoidant before. I've heard of that term. I've heard that term avoidant before. But we fall into one of these categories. And we are developing that. And here's the thing, Dr. Patricia. We don't even realize it. And that's what's getting us. We're continuously being developed in something that we don't even realize we're being developed in. We're falling into it. Why do so many people minimize their own pain? Because it doesn't look like someone else's. You know how they say, Dr. Patricia, like, you led with your story. And everyone has a story. And someone would say, mine wasn't that bad. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. You know, yeah, it wasn't as bad. But, you know, it's still impacting you, but it wasn't that bad. Well, it wasn't that bad. Why do we have this tendency to minimize our pain or minimize what we've gone through because it doesn't mirror someone else's story?
I think because someone else had it worse and because the family looked normal. I minimized my own pain for years. But a couple of months ago, I told my youngest sister that I was writing a memoir. And she said, why? And I said, well, because it mattered. And she said, but other people had the same issues. And I said, well, I asked her if her sexual abuse mattered, and she said, yes, it did. So that was kind of an eye-opener for her, I think. But trauma is not a competition. If it shaped you, it mattered. So that's what's important.
I like that. It's not a competition. But the nail here, you said, if it shaped you, then it mattered.
Right.
If it played a part, then it mattered. Your kid stuff. Your kid stuff. The stuff that you left on the floor. The stuff you couldn't pick up. The stuff you couldn't even find the strength to go back. And I remember Dr. Patricia, I would tell my son, hey, go pick up their toy. I said, what is that toy? He said, I don't know what it is. It's a toy. Some stuff we can't even name. Some stuff we can't even identify, but it's still on the floor.
Yeah,
I would ask him, what is that toy right there? What is that? I don't know what that is, Dad. But it's a toy. Some things we can't even put a name to it. We can't even identify. We can't even articulate it, but it mattered. Just because what you endured doesn't resemble what someone else endured doesn't mean that it didn't matter. It still matter. Your kid stuff. When someone says things like that, you know, when someone says, I shouldn't feel this way. Now that's the one that gets me. I shouldn't feel this way. What do you hear underneath that statement? Because I shouldn't feel this way. I'm a better person now. I shouldn't feel like this. What do you hear underneath that type of statement?
I hear shame. I hear someone trying to push down a valid response because they think feelings are weak.
Wow.
For years, I didn't understand the way I did. But I just thought there was something wrong with me.
Wow. And that's, I find, Dr. Patricia, that's the typical response. We begin to internalize it as our own wrong, that something is broken.
That's right.
As we are broken.
It's our stuff.
Yeah. Let me say this to everyone. You're not broken. What happened to you, your kid stuff, doesn't mean that you're broken. Your kid stuff doesn't mean that something is wrong with you. You got kid stuff like everyone else. That stuff that's on the floor, those things that you need to address, doesn't mean that you were wrong. Doesn't mean that something was wrong with you. Avoided pain doesn't disappear. Just because, you know, I could hit myself on my hand with a hammer, Dr. Patricia, and just because I sit there and deny the pain that I'm in doesn't make it disappear. It's still turning red. It's still turning purple. The nail is still coming off my thumb. I'm sitting here and the nail is coming off my thumb. I'm like, oh, no, it's not happening. Yeah, it's happening. It's absolutely happening. So avoided pain doesn't disappear, right? It waits. That's what it does. I learned that. It waits. The things we didn't have language for that we mentioned earlier, the things that we didn't have language for, the things we stepped over, the things no one helped us clean up, they stay right where they are. Excuse me. I'm going to put the picture again of those toys in that room. I would ask my kids, I don't care how many times I ask my kids to pick up the toys. If they never picked them up, they would still be there. If they never went in the room and start putting things away, those toys would still be there. And just because we decided not to address those toys, those kid stuff that's on the floor, doesn't mean that it's gone. It's just waiting. Doesn't mean somehow it magically became invisible. It's still there. The things we stepped over, the things someone helped us clean up, they stay right where they are until we trip over them in adulthood. And that's where some of us are. What does it actually mean for an adult to pick up the toys they never learned how to put away?
For me, it meant education, therapy, and eventually becoming a psychologist, not to outrun the past, but to understand it. It meant naming the abuse, understanding the narcissistic dynamics, and recognizing how childhood trauma shaped my adult relationships. Picking up the toys means facing the story without shame and recognizing you are surviving.
Wow. Wow. And I'm going to say this, Dr. Patricia. We all have toys we need to pick up. We all have things that we need to go back and pick up off the floor. How can someone begin that work? I know we talk about doing it, but how can it be? I'm an adult now. Think about this, Dr. Patricia, okay? We're adults now, right? We're no longer 10 years old, 8 years old, 5 years old, right? We become adults. And sometimes as adults, going back and trying to do some things, a little difficult. It's kind of like as an adult, some adults, you know, they could ride a bike when they were young, but trying to ride a bike now, some of them are like, I don't know about all that. You know, you ever do some things as a kid, Dr. Patricia? There were some things that you could do as a kid, and then now you think about those things, you go like, no, I'll never try that now. Absolutely not.
Yeah. A hula hoop.
A hula hoop. I know.
No way.
Absolutely not. I don't even think about it. I used to run and jump off the porch, right, as a kid. Yeah, I'm not doing that now. Not going to do it.
Yeah, really.
Not even going to do it. So what does it actually mean? So How does someone begin that work without drowning in guilt, blame, or self-judgment?
Because many of us learned that we were the problem, I think compassion feels undeserved and accountability feels familiar. But healing requires both truth and kindness toward ourselves. And we have to work on that and work on it constantly, not just one time. It's an ongoing thing that we have to deal with. And I think it's important that we recognize that on an ongoing basis.
Absolutely right. We got to take those steps as an adult and realize that if, even though we're an adult and we're addressing those issues, that it's okay. It's never too late to go back and pick your toys up. It's never too late to do that. Why is compassion often harder to extend to ourselves than accountability? We say, I'll take accountability. But we don't want to show compassion to ourselves. We'll be accountable for this and that. But when it comes to showing ourselves that self-compassion, it's a difficult moment to realize that.
I don't know. I think because we're not ready to look at the whole picture.
Right,
we need to kind of step back and take a look at the entire picture and get a better view of it.
Absolutely. And I think what happens a lot, also, Dr. Patricia, given based on what you're saying, a lot of times we do, when we look at what we've done or our experiences, we look at things in a very small, narrow window. And if you only look through a window, you would think that's the entire house. But once you walk inside and get a tour, the house is bigger than I thought it was. But because it's our experience, we're looking through the window of our experience. And anytime you're looking through that single window, you will get the perspective that that's the entirety of everything. That this is what happened, and that's everything that's happened. But if we step back and look at the entire picture, we understand you do need to give yourself some grace because it's a bigger issue than you thought it was. It's a bigger matter than you thought it was. And when we don't give ourselves that grace, we're not giving ourselves and looking at things with that big picture. We're not giving ourselves the grace that we deserve. We're not doing that. Let me ask you this question. So I know you're creating a memoir, right? So how is that going? When
it was published in December.
How's it going? Why now? What made you want to do it now?
I'm not really sure why now. It just kind of, I started doing some writing and I thought, well, gee, this is interesting. And I started to write about myself. And I thought, golly, I could go back and take a look at what happened in my life and maybe, you know, put some meaning to it. So I decided to do a memoir. And when I did, I thought, well, okay. My sister was very abused when we were young, and I wanted to dedicate it to her. So I did. I dedicated the book to her. And
awesome.
She went through a lot of stuff that was really horrible because of the circumstances that we were in. But
wow.
I'm hoping that she's up in heaven looking down on me and saying, okay, thanks, I appreciate that.
I'm sure she's very proud of you, Dr. Patricia. Very proud of you for doing that. And you gave her a voice. Gave her a voice. That's what you did.
Yeah.
You gave her a voice. So she wouldn't be silenced anymore. But you did. You gave her a voice. Now we hear her voice through your memoir. So thank you for introducing us to your sister. We appreciate you for that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. She, yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave her a voice. Guys, listen, I know you may want to know, well, how can you contact Trisha and all those wonderful things. Guys, she has a website. I'm going to put it here so you see, be able to see it coming up. Oh, right there. And it is just her name, Patricia Grenell, GRENELLE.com. PatriciaGrenell.com. And you can find her also on social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Substack. That's right, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Substack. Patricia Grenell, GRENELLE.com. That is who you can find her. And also, I want to show everybody your website, also, Dr. Patricia, so that they can see that as well. Let me get that so everybody can see the website. There we go. We'll navigate to it. There it is. Tell us a little bit about your website, Dr. Grenell. Give the good brief overview.
Well, one of the main things I wanted to put on there was that this is, you're not broken. You're not alone. There are people that are available for you to talk to, people that are available for you to have a relationship with that understand what's going on. The complex PTSD is very... it's very, how would I say, I guess it involves an awful lot of stuff and is something that not everybody can deal with on their own. It takes a person, maybe a therapist or somebody like that, who can stand by the side and take a look and deal with it and help the person deal with it. And so that's one of the things that I wanted to get over across my, on my website.
Yeah, it looks great, guys. Great way to contact her there. When you scroll through it, you can see contact there. How you can leave a message for them to get connected. As you see there, they are right there. Their social media sites, speaking parts about home, all those wonderful things. So that is absolutely amazing. Dr. Patricia, thank you so much for that. I like to ask this question, Dr. Patricia, of all my guests, okay? If there was one thing that you could say that you want to say to encourage someone right now who still dealing with their kid stuff and their stuff on the floor, and they say, man, this is kind of tough to go back and get this. What is something that you would say to someone to encourage them to address their kid stuff?
I think take a look at their relationship statuses and deal with that in an ongoing basis. The relationships is probably where it's going to come up. And if there's a relationship problem, they need to be aware of it and find out why. And look back and find out what went on to cause them to feel the way they do. And
absolutely.
React the way they are.
Absolutely. Guys, listen, Dr. Patricia, I'm so glad you were here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're still cold, Dr. Patricia, and you're there running off in the desert. We're all,
it's 76 degrees here now.
Yeah. And I'm in Birmingham, Alabama, and it's not 76 degrees, Dr. Patricia. so thank you so much for Dr. Patricia for being here with us today. Stay with right there, Dr. Patricia. Don't go nowhere. I'll be right back with you. Don't go nowhere, Dr. Patricia.
Okay.
Guys, listen. Let me just say this to everyone. We all have those moments of kid stuff, things we have not dealt with, things that are still on the floor. Listen, you don't have to clean the whole room. But you do have to stop pretending that the floor is clean. Take one moment this week and just notice how something makes you feel. You don't have to make dramatic about it, don't have to post it on social media, but take one moment and notice how something made you feel this week. And maybe that is the kid stuff that you need to pick up off the floor. We all do. So guys, address that. Just know that you don't have to clean the whole room, but you do have to stop pretending that the floor is clear. Guys, I got to get out of here, but it's always imparting. Listen, you can join us right here every Thursday, 6:30 p.m. Central to 7:30 p.m. Eastern to listen to the show. Or you can stream it on your favorite listening platform like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon Music, and so many more. Guys, I got to get out of here, but it's always imparting. If you're going to tell me something, then tell me something good. I'm out of here, y'all. I got to go. Peace.
Is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.